Good morning. As we began to go into lockdown, one of the things that people often talked about was re-evaluating our priorities. And in particular, Christians would often say that those who do not know Jesus will hopefully re-evaluate their priorities and consider faith. But little did I realise that God had a lesson for me in my own walk of faith in re-evaluating my priorities. And he did it through one simple question. What are you waiting for? As we seek to reevaluate our priorities, Psalm 130 is a wonderful place to start. This psalm is a song of ascent. Psalms 120 to 134 were songs sung by Old Testament Israel as they ascended the hill towards Jerusalem, as they made their way to go worship God. But while some of these psalms would tend to emphasize a physical journey towards Jerusalem, Psalm 130, as one commentator, Alec Mottier, points out, is a journey of the heart, a journey of the soul towards God. So as we seek to reevaluate our priorities, we're better placed to start than the map of a journey of our hearts. And that journey begins in the depths. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. For many of us, we may feel like we can relate to the depths in all that we've experienced during lockdown. But the psalmist is not specifically talking about things that they've experienced or external factors. The depths that the psalmist talks about here are depths of their own making. You see, the psalmist begins their journey recognizing how far from God they really are. And the depths are their own brokenness. The things that they do that is in rebellion against God. It's the depths of sin. And as we read this psalm, we see that there is nothing specific said about that sin or that brokenness or whatever they have done. I think that's deliberate. I think we are to echo these words in our hearts, just like I think we should for many of the psalms. We have to recognise how far we are from God. We have to recognise our own sin and brokenness. And as we recognise our sin, sometimes we can feel condemned. But there's one person who really wants us to stay in the depths. Satan, the devil, God's greatest enemy. He would love for us to recognise our sinfulness and to stay in that place, far off from God, feeling condemned and worthless. But God has another idea. You see, God, by his Holy Spirit, convicts us of our sin, helps us to recognise our sinfulness, so that we will turn to him and seek his forgiveness. So that we will cry out to the Lord, crying out for mercy. Because with the Lord, verse 4, with the Lord is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve him. Satan wants us to stay in that far off place, but God wants to convict us so we recognize our brokenness and we recognize our need of him. And so we seek his forgiveness. How then does the psalmist respond to the Lord's forgiveness? Well, verse 5, the next step in the journey, we see the psalmist say this. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his words, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. The psalmist waits for the Lord with their whole being, their soul. And they wait patiently. They wait like watchmen for the morning, more so even. It's an endurant, patient waiting on God. Have you ever heard a message or a sermon or a talk, maybe even something you've heard on a podcast, that's just kind of made you, well, squirm? It's pierced your heart and it's convicted you because you've known that that message is something that you needed to hear. You need to deal with it. And it's one thing to hear that, but imagine convicting yourself of that when you're preparing your own sermon. That's the experience I had a few weeks ago, as I stumbled across verse 5 and realized, what am I waiting for? I am not waiting for the Lord. In fact, I know exactly what I'm waiting for. In my own life at that point, it was PlayStation, video games, my own enjoyment. I was furloughed, I was trying to be productive throughout most of the day, but I was also giving myself plenty of time to just enjoy playing video games. But suddenly, it came to light that even if I was just saying I'll only play 1 hour on that day, my mind, my day was orientated around that 1 hour. I just couldn't wait to get all this other stuff out of the way so I could enjoy what I wanted to enjoy. I was waiting for it. And yet, it wasn't really life-giving. It wasn't nourishing my soul. In fact, it was draining my soul. Because at the end of it all, I kept asking myself, am I waiting for this or for God? 1 Peter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I was anxious about this. And eventually, instead of feeling condemned, I felt convicted. And I cast my anxiety upon God. I prayed about it. And it was very clear that God wanted me to give up PlayStation, to put it in a box and put it in the loft and to put him first. But why? What could be worth giving up something that I enjoyed so much? Well, verses 7 to 8 answer that very question. The psalmist says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. The psalmist, on the way to Jerusalem, turns to the people around him as he's on his journey with them, and he tells them, out of his own experience, put your hope in God. With him is forgiveness, unfailing love, and full redemption. The power to redeem. But how is it that God has the power to redeem? Well, the answer comes in verse 8. And verse 8, if this were a map, would be the unmissable, majestic viewpoint, the thing that you just have to go and see on your journey. Because in verse 8, we learn, he himself will redeem. And the wonderful thing about that verse is that he himself has redeemed. He himself has stepped into the depths, into the darkness of our lives, and has brought us out into marvelous light. He himself has walked upon this earth and has met people in their brokenness and has told them to wait for him, has told them to put him first in their lives, and has said, come, follow me. He himself has won our forgiveness, has demonstrated God's unfailing, faithful love, and has redeemed us from our sins by his death on the cross and his resurrection to life. Because he himself will redeem us. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh. In him we put our hope, because he has forgiven us, he has redeemed us, and he demonstrates God's unfailing love for us. He has redeemed not only Israel, he is the light to the whole world, the salvation for all. And he's redeemed us from all our sins, past, present, and future. Only with him can we be rescued from the depths. He himself has saved us. So why are we not waiting for him first in our lives? Can I challenge you? Ask God what you are waiting for. Ask him to identify the things in your life that you are putting before God. Like me with PlayStation. Now maybe for you it's not PlayStation and video games. Maybe you don't even own those things. But what is it that you're waiting for? Maybe it's the weekend. Except every Sunday evening you marvel at how it's so short. It's over already, as you stare down the long barrel of another work week. So maybe you wait for the longer weekend, a holiday. But even then you get to the end and you think, that was so short. When's the next one? Or maybe you're waiting for some big life event, something that you're really hoping God will do in your life. And yet you're waiting so much, you're putting it before him. You're no longer trusting him. Maybe even you're waiting for the end of lockdown. Except what should be revitalizing your soul as you look towards seeing people again is actually draining your soul because you're obsessively checking the lockdown easing news. Wait for the Lord. Let your whole being wait for him. In his word, put your hope. It was God's words that convicted me and challenged me when I realised that PlayStation had become an idol in my life. Let God's word speak to you. And go one step further. Don't just identify this thing. Ask God to help you with it. Ask him, what can I do to put you first in my life? And maybe even invite others into that process. Perhaps you could tell somebody what you felt God was telling you, and maybe they could share in turn. As a church, we are looking at discipleship, helping one another become more like Jesus. Maybe this would be a great way to do that. Perhaps in your growth group even this week, you could discuss that question. What are you waiting for? And if you're listening this morning and you're thinking, well, that's all great, but I'm not a Christian. Well, can I encourage you? Investigate the claims of Jesus. Read the four Gospels, or one of them. Read of who Jesus said he was. He himself was God. Read of what Jesus has done. He himself has redeemed us from our sins by his death on the cross and his resurrection to life. Because if Jesus is the one with whom there is forgiveness and unfailing love and redemption, and if he is the one that offers life to the full, then all I can say is, what are you waiting for? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have rescued us from the depths. Lord, thank you that you have redeemed us from our sins. God, thank you that your Holy Spirit convicts us and points us towards you. I pray that you would identify the things in our lives that we are waiting for above you, and help us to put you first, to wait on the Lord with our whole being. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.